You're listening to Life's About Choices Radio, where women tune in to listen to conversations that open the doors to the three C's of life: courage, confidence, and confirmation that they can do or be anything they want. I am your host, Nancy Muller, and we are broadcasting from the amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. Today, I'm really excited to be sharing the microphone with Dr. Susan Bach, and this is part two of our three-part segment discussing self-love. Susan is known as the expert for rewriting your future, and she works with women who are tired of limitations, ready to find their purpose, and cash in on the wealth of purposeful living in business, relationships, and life. Susan, welcome back.
Hey, Nancy. It's great to be back.
I'm so excited. I was listening to last week's show, and it just, we sound like we're having a party. We're having too much fun with our life, you know? But that's why I say I love my life.
Yes, you do, and you wear it well.
Thank you.
And I must say that you worked very hard to get to this point, too.
Well, you know, sometimes I think during the journey, you just feel like, what's the point? I'm going to give up. But I promise everybody, if you just keep going, it's worth it.
Right.
Don't give up, ladies. Don't give up.
Absolutely.
Okay. So last week, if you remember, we gave the listeners a call to action where we invited the listeners to call right into the Facebook page or send emails if you wanted to remain anonymous about some of the challenges or thoughts that came up in your head when you were listening to last week's show. And so today's show is going to center around the obstacles of self-love. And based on some of the feedback that we got from the emails, that's kind of where we thought we'd go today, right, Susan?
Excellent, because the kinds of questions or the types of questions that came in, Nancy, really touch on the three areas that you and I have highlighted as general areas of obstacles. And the questions are very specific, which I think is a terrific way for us to work into each one of the three areas.
Absolutely. So, all right. Should we just start out with the questions? What do you think?
Sure, let's go for it.
All right. The first person wrote in, I can't put myself first. That's selfish. What do you say to that, Susan?
It feels selfish because that's what we have learned self-love to feel like. We've been taught that. Whether it's from society, family, even experiences in school, the message we received is very mixed. Yes, you can excel at something and become a star athlete or star at the spelling bee, and by all means, don't talk about it. So the mixed messages gets very confusing. What we end up doing, I think, is focusing in on and don't talk about it, because that's boastful, that's egotistical, the things that we touched on last week, Nancy. Yeah. So my response to the person who says that it still feels uncomfortable is, that's okay. It's okay to think that it's selfish for now, and the more you practice it, the less selfish it will be.
You know, there's a really good book out. I don't recall the author right now, but it's called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And it's a really great book. And I think that when you're feeling afraid, like in this instance, you're feeling, oh, my gosh, that's selfish. I can't do that. That's a fear
right.
that we're feeling.
Exactly.
So when you learn to create a new habit and look at your fears, where is this fear coming from? What's the worst that can happen? Why am I feeling this fear? Is it real or is it something I've been told? I think when you look at it that way, it kind of gives you the courage or the confidence
right.
to tackle that.
The limiting belief category is huge. Nancy, mm-hmm. you and I have come up with several. But this one in particular, the question that I would pose when that sensation comes up, whether it's fear or lack of self-worth, is to take an emotional honesty test. And is that a true emotion? Is it accurate to say for me today, based on the person I am today, is it accurate for me to say that engaging in self-love is selfish? I think if we're truthful with that emotion, the answer would be no, it's not selfish. It may have been perceived that way 20, 30, 40 years ago. That's not our truth today. And one of the first steps in releasing these limiting beliefs and engaging in beliefs that are supportive of who we are today and who we want to be tomorrow is to just acknowledge the belief, go to the root and say, is this something that I want to continue to have in my life?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, that reminds me, I had a woman call me, or she emailed me yesterday, and I spoke with her on the phone today, and she's about my age. She's in her mid-50s, and she's unemployed, and to through no fault of her own, and she's now finds herself, you know, looking for work. And just the concept of looking for work, and she kept saying, I'm unemployed. It's embarrassing. I'm unemployed. It's embarrassing. I'm unemployed. And I challenged her to change her self-talk, change the words that she was using, change the vocabulary. I said, you're not unemployed. You're in transition. You are at the best time of your life. You have this opportunity to find out what you're really passionate about and go for it. Find out the gifts that you have within you and create something from that. But if your limiting belief is that you're worthless because you're unemployed, you're keeping yourself so down because you have this limiting belief that not having a job that you go to, report to on a daily basis is a bad thing. And by the time that phone call was over, she's like, wow, I really, thank you. I never thought about the words that I was using. And I said, yeah, you're creating a whole new beginning for yourself, a new beginning to go do, be whatever you want to do or be.
One of the expressions that you often use is to think large.
Absolutely.
And what you invited her to do was to vacate thinking small and step into thinking large, which is a beautiful thing. The limiting beliefs keep us in a box, a very small box. I invite our listeners to start living in a bigger box. Think large. Expand your comfort zone. Change is a difficult thing, and that kind of goes to, I think, our next question. When we start to change behaviors, resistance kicks in, and resistance wears a multitude of cloaks, everything from procrastination, to self-doubt, to fear, anger. Oftentimes it's indecisiveness. The list is lengthy. When those emotions kick in, when that resistance starts to raise its head and says, oh no, we can't change that, that's because we want to stay in this very safe box.
Okay.
My invitation to clients is to just step a little bit outside of that comfort zone, just a little bit, and I call it the stretch zone. Step outside of the comfort zone into the stretch zone, and sometimes that stretch zone is just a baby step, but at least take the step. Where we tend to sabotage ourselves is when we move into what I call the stress zone. We take too big of a step outside of our comfort zone, and it puts us into a stressful situation, which, again, resistance is just having a ball there because you're saying, oh, no, there's no way. We can't do this. But then you shrink back.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just take a little step, just a baby step, and day by day, step by step, engage in more and more behaviors that are self-loving, embrace the concept of being more than you are. In a week from today, you'll look back and say, wow, I didn't know I could do that. Or a month from today, you'll look back and say, look how far I've come.
Absolutely. And at that point, you say, wow, if I could do that, what else can I do?
Exactly.
And that's where the possibilities become endless. That's where you realize there is no box.
That's it, exactly.
I love it. I love it. The next question that someone asked, can you give me an example about limiting beliefs?
Why don't you take the lead on that one?
Okay.
You had a great example.
Well, a limiting belief, I feel it's something, a lot of times it comes from parenting, our parents parenting us, you know, and this is great. Parents are trying to teach kids to be, you know, polite and to be respectful and that type of thing. But again, parents can only teach what parents know. And so they're putting these beliefs in you that you have to be or do a certain way. For instance, if they say, oh, you have to respect your elders, or you have to respect your, I don't know, your in-laws. You're going to get married, and you have to respect your in-laws. So you realize that you love your spouse very, very much, but your in-laws, not so much. They're a little toxic. And you think, how am I going to work around this? But that limiting belief inside your head might be that, well, like, we have to go to every family function, or we have to go to every, we have to be wherever the in-laws want us to be.
Right.
And so we just don't see a way out of it. And then we come to dread holidays and those types of situations. And it wasn't until I heard this first from something I was listening to from Jack Canfield, when a woman said, I'm really dreading the upcoming holidays. And Jack said, why? And she said, well, because I really don't care for my in-laws. I love my mother-in-law, but I don't care for my in-laws. And it's just a very stressful situation. They're toxic. They talk about each other. It's just not fun atmosphere to be in. And I don't like our children to see that. And Jack said to her, well, don't go. And she goes, well, we have to go. And he said, no, you don't. And she goes, well, yeah, we kind of do. I mean, it's expected of us. See, that's a limiting belief. And Jack helped her see a way to talk to her mother-in-law and a conversation to have with her about why they weren't going to be there for the family gathering, but an alternative that would make everybody happy. And it's interesting, that's that outside-of-the-box thinking that you were talking about.
Right.
When you can do something that puts you in a situation where it's a win-win for everyone, that's loving yourself, rather than putting yourself in a situation of just, oh, it's only for an hour or 2 hours. But we have to remember, time is short on this earth. So every hour that you spend that is not nourishing to your body, your mental health, your psychic health, your spiritual health, it takes away from who you are.
Absolutely.
So what about you? What example would you give on limiting belief?
This goes directly to the self-love and self-worth. And what one of my beliefs that I was raised with is you don't talk about yourself. And I took that internally at my tender age of whatever, to mean that I'm not worth talking about. Limiting belief. How is that communicated to me? If someone talks about themselves, the observation would be they talk too much about themselves, or they're very focused on themselves and not others. I took that to heart. To this day, what I find challenging, and you even commented on this, Nancy, is to talk about myself. It's much easier for me to ask questions and invite the conversation from others. Very difficult for me to talk about me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was doing my latest website, the marketing expert said, you have to write your story. Well, I don't want to write my story. She said, no, it's about Susan. That's the title of the page, about Susan. You have to write your story. Well, that was painful. I'd rather go to the dentist than do that. That's a limiting belief.
And isn't that interesting, because this is what you do. You mentor and coach women, men and women, globally, and you teach them how to have this belief in themselves, and yet you don't want to do your about me page.
Right.
Because you have this limiting belief that that's being boastful.
That's the obstacle for that particular example, and I don't want to leave that as just the obstacle because there was a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And the solution was, write one sentence, one paragraph. Back to the baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
Just take a little bit. I don't have to sit down and write a 5-page document about myself.
Mm-hmm.
One sentence at a time. One step at a time. And the more you do it, the more comfortable it is. Now, does that mean that limiting belief has gone away? No, and it never will. There is not a belief that evaporates because we own it for too long. What we do is layer a new belief over it. And the more we reinforce it, the stronger we make that new belief, the greater root it takes.
So I'm not going to hear you get on the stage and say, I'm the goddess of life coaches.
Fate
gives you. Okay, well, that's what we'll all be waiting for. Then we'll know. That's awesome. Okay, another reader wrote in, all this self-love talk feels very overwhelming. What is the first step that I can take? And that's pretty much what you just said about taking baby steps, but what would you say, Susan, is the first step someone can take to self-love?
The very first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is engage in 2 minutes of self-love. Conversation with yourself. Loving, kind, nurturing conversation. So start your day with self-love, not with technology, not with the coffee. Self-love before you even get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
When you're still in the warmth of the moment and that semi-awake, semi-conscious state, and talk about how much you love yourself and what you love about yourself and what you're going to do today to reinforce your self-love.
Absolutely.
So the very first step I would suggest is 2 minutes upon awakening, start practicing self-love.
That's really awesome.
How about you?
Well, you know, something that I was just talking to a client yesterday, she was having some challenges along this line, and I suggested to her, you know, everybody's heard of a vision board. People write, create their vision boards. And last year, I had the concept of creating a success board. Because I think sometimes we forget how we got from where we were to where we are because we're so busy thinking about where we want to be.
That's great.
And then we just take it one step at a time, one step at a time, and whatever we had to do yesterday to get to today, okay, well, today's today, and now today is tomorrow's challenge, and what are we going to do tomorrow? But, you know, unless you're big on reflecting, we don't stop and say, yeah, but in order to get where I am today, I had to do this, or I had to do that. And maybe to get where I am today, there's something that I had to learn. That's a success. There's something that I had to push past, something that was either a limiting belief or uncomfortable or fear to get to where I am, and that can never be underrated. So I really think that, you know, looking at your successes is key because when you look back at, well, you know, I forgot when I learned how to, I don't know, whatever, exactly, roller skate or bake a cake or, I don't know, do a P&L or, you know, I don't know, go out and get your business license. You know, everything that we do, we didn't know how to do it at one time. And that goes along with you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
But so often we don't give ourselves credit for the stuff that we have learned and has gotten us where we are.
What I hear from that is to focus on what we do know rather than on what we don't know.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
I love
great
it.
Suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next question. I'm afraid that if I start practicing self-love, that my significant other will leave me. Ooh, this is a great question.
Do you want to go with that one?
I think you and I are both on the same page about this.
Totally.
Yeah. We would say, well, don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out, buddy. But really, why would you want to be with someone who holds you back from being all that you can be? And a lot of times women do hold themselves back from their gifts, from what they could be in their life,
Right.
Because of the significant other in their life. Or it's not even a partner. It could be family members. Maybe you're struggling with taking care of a sick parent. Or, you know, there's a lot of challenges out there, something that might be holding you back. And you say, yeah, but if I start giving to me first, if I start loving myself, if I start really wanting to let people know what's important to me, why I feel I exist and what my gifts are, now others, you know, might not treat me like they do today. Yeah, but at the same point, you don't know what awesome people are going to come into your life because you're going to start putting this out there.
Right. It goes to what you mentioned earlier, Nancy, about thinking small.
Absolutely.
And it also, for me, the word that comes to mind is, why are you settling for that?
Mm-hmm.
Because no one deserves that.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve so much more. Why would you want to settle for less than what you deserve, for less than what you can have? If you believe in yourself and you love yourself, you will then attract someone who loves you for who you are.
And, you know, I think that that's a really important concept for young teens today. There are young girls that I speak to, and they tell me that certain things are expected of them, you know, when they're dating or just to be popular. And they don't really feel comfortable doing it, but they feel that's what's expected of them.
Yes.
So they don't practice self-love. They give into peer pressure.
Yes.
And giving into peer pressure is not practicing self-love. And so it all starts someplace. And imagine if the one gift that we could give every teenage girl today to practice self-love, that she could look at another girl in school and say, I don't need to look like you to be me, or I don't need to have what you have to be me, or I don't need to, I don't know, have you date me in order to be important, or I don't need to give my body away in order to be important. Can you imagine the gift that would be for teenagers today?
That's huge, Nancy. Huge.
Absolutely.
And it's such a formative time in their lives. That would be a wonderful gift for every mother to give her daughter.
Absolutely. Just knowing that, hold on to what you know your gift to be. And don't give it away, because there's someone out there that's truly going to, they're going to deserve that gift that you're giving freely, rather than let someone take that from you.
Right. And I think one of our listeners asked about, I don't know what my gifts are, or when there was some reference to that.
Mm-hmm.
And my suggestion to that would be is ask. Ask people that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
What do they see as your gifts?
Mm-hmm.
And this is not an opportunity for you to argue with them or debate or discount. It's just accept what is given to you as your gift, and then you'll have a place to begin.
Right.
Okay, this is what others see my gifts to be. And work with that. That's another way to begin, is to ask others.
Because feedback is so important. Negative or positive, feedback is feedback. And if you feel that it's negative feedback, that in itself is telling, because why is the person giving you that feedback saying that to you? Maybe it's their baggage that they're dealing with. And too often we take it to heart and we think, oh, really? That's what they think of me? Oh, my gosh, then I need to change. When it might not be about us at all. It might be about them. And again, that's where self-love comes in. If you love yourself first, unconditionally, totally love yourself, you will have that armor. Just like Wonder Woman. She had her bracelets. You will have that armor that you can just ching, ching, and it bounces off. And you know, oh, this is about them. This isn't about me. And then maybe you might be able to find a way to help that person, or that person might not be ready for help yet. But if so, it enables you to stay in your self-love space, I guess.
Right. And what that person said could be their truth, but that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be your truth.
Absolutely.
So it's taking into account that everybody has an opinion about something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right or wrong, good or bad. It's just a different opinion.
Right.
Consider the opinion. And then you can make the decision whether or not you want it to become your truth.
Absolutely.
Good.
I love it.
time's flying by.
Okay. The last question that we have here, the idea of self-love feels very selfish. How do I get past that selfishness or that thought process of selfish? Well, Susan, I don't know about you, but I think, again, that's a limiting belief, that loving yourself, having self-love, putting yourself first is selfish. Somewhere, someone along the line, someone in your life told you, oh, that's a selfish act, or oh, that's a selfish thought. You don't want to think like that. And so you get to a certain point in your life, and then someone else is telling you, no, that's very important. That's important for your growth, you know, both mentally, physically, spiritually, and now you're conflicted, you're confused. So wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
So what would you tell someone who's feeling selfish? Again, that goes back to vocabulary, what we talked about last week.
Yes, that you could replace the word egotistical or boastful, any of the examples that we gave. My question to the person who's asked this question, saying that it feels selfish, is that a feeling that you want to continue to have?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Does it serve you where you want to go? For the person that you want to be tomorrow, next week, next year, does that serve you? Will it take you there? One of my clients, which I just love this, she talks about, is this in keeping with my paradise? That's her word, is paradise.
Ooh, I like
she's
that.
Trying to create her, she wants her life to be her paradise. When she's confronted with something like this,
mm-hmm.
her question is, how does this serve my paradise? So perhaps coming up with a question that would challenge the limiting belief or challenge this feeling in a way that will take you beyond it. How does this serve your future?
Mm-hmm.
How does this serve the example that you wish to engender with your children?
Absolutely. You have to ask yourself, is this serving me? And if the answer is no, then what are you going to do to change that?
And have the courage to do so.
Absolutely. That's self-love.
There you go.
I love it. Well, I don't know about you, but this time has flown by. It's like, whoo, this just flies by. Okay, but I do know, Susan, that each one of us is a gift. We may not see the gift that we are, but others see it.
Yes, they do.
And they see our greatness, and they will try to point it out to us. And sometimes we can't see what others see. And sometimes it's just a matter of stepping back and hearing what the other person is saying about us. And when we're ready to see our greatness, celebrate all who we are, our gifts, and we realize our inner strengths, we truly are then able to step into our power. Don't you agree?
That's beautiful. Yes, I love it.
So remember, you are a woman of inner strength because, after all, life is all about choices. I would love to hear from you and how you're making positive choices in your life. You can write to me at info@nancymullerglobal.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at Nancy, N-A-N-C-Y, Muller, M-U-E-L-L-E-R, Global, G-L-O-B-A-L.com, or visit me at www.nancymullerglobal.com. Like me, I hope to hear you say, I love my life. Ciao for now.